It's 33 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday morning. Dave Holper is here in the studio. Excited we've got an author coming to town. He's going to be here on Friday. His name is Joe Abbott, author of Dickieville. And former CR grad, is that right, Dave?
Yeah, it's a great story. I don't think, 12 years I've been bringing authors to CR. This is the first time we've had a CR grad who's written a book, and this is his first novel, and he's coming to town and going to give a reading tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Fantastic. Where is that going to be?
It's in the Life Science Lecture Hall, not our normal venue for authors, but because of the construction at CR, that's an easy place for people to access, whether, even if you're disabled, you still have access to that auditorium. So if you're coming up into CR, you just take the main CR entrance by the marquee, and Life Science is just to the left of the Forum building. So,
okay.
Just want to make sure people know how to get there. And if you're not sure about CR and you're a little unclear about it, you can always go on to CR and do the quick links and find a map there and
go online,
locate the building.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too hard to find. So is this a free event?
It is a free event. And
that's a good price.
We will also have books available for purchase if people want to get them. We don't have a credit card reader, so bring cash or check if you're interested in obtaining a copy. And
so was he a student of yours?
He was not. This was years ago before I came to CR.
Gotcha.
And interestingly enough, this year I serve on the Book of the Year Committee, and he wrote me a letter and said, hey, I'd like to be considered for the Book of the Year. And I said, we've already gotten the book. That was Outliers for this year.
It's a great book.
But why don't you send me a copy of the book, of your book, and I'll read it, because the Associated Students of CR, shameless plug for them, help bring back this Visiting Writers series. And so so I read the book, and it's a fun read. Just it's kind of a romp about a guy from California who's about 30. His life really isn't going in any direction per se. He's a kind of surfer. He's dating a lot of women, but he really is kind of adrift. And then he meets a young woman from Wisconsin, of all places, and they fall in love. And their relationship is pretty tumultuous, and they're just about to break up, and out of desperation, he proposes to her. So the novel, the bulk of it, involves her inviting him to go back to Dickieville in Wisconsin. And here,
is that a real place?
It is a real place.
Wow.
I looked it up online. And
I thought for sure that was made up.
Yeah, I thought so too. And there's a section right when he gets there where he sees this thing called the Dickieville Grotto. And it was so vividly described, I thought, it must be real. So I Googled it, and sure enough, there is a Dickieville Grotto.
Wow.
Yeah. You got to go take a look at that online. It's a crazy thing. But anyway, he arrives there in Wisconsin, California boy. He's just come from the Caribbean. He's not dressed for the winter. It's snowed. Nobody shows up at the bus stop to pick him up. And he's a vegetarian. And of course, imagine coming into Wisconsin with those kind of things. And this is set back in the 1960s. So it's a whole different era. And it's about the ride that he goes through and what happens to him back there. And it's pretty crazy. So I brought a section to read. Just this is his arrival at the house after he's trudged through the snow across Dickieville to arrive at Daphne, his fiancée's parents' house. So footsteps clunked inside. He listened, making out a voice. Someone's here. You get it, came another voice. Who, me? Who, you? Who else? Get the ding-dang door. All right, I got it. The phone began to ring. You get it. The phone? The door opened, and out came a rush of warm air, smelling of slow thyme and cinnamon and odors that seemed familiar but not instantly recognizable because Matt's nose was running from the cold. Before him stood a white-haired woman, short and aproned. She glanced at his duffel bag. We don't need any, she said, starting to shut the door. Although her ears distracted him, leather flaps with long lobes poking through fuzzy hair so that he could not avoid staring, he recognized something in her features. Mrs. Dickey, it's me, Matt Roper. The woman looked at him as if he were delivering a dose of measles. Father, she said over her shoulder as she edged from the door. An old man appeared, slippers clapping the floor. bare-chested except for suspenders strapped over white hairs covering a narrow torso. Over a thin but rich mustache sat the oddest nose. It was bulbous and turned up at the tip so that you looked straight up the old man's nostrils. Matt had the uneasy notion that with enough light, he could see the man's brains. Nose, hair, and clothing reminded him of something, and Matt couldn't help himself. "You must represent the Lollipop Guild." "What?" The man's eyes narrowed. "That was Agnes on the phone, Mother. Says there's a man on our porch." "Sure there is, you darn fool. Here he is." "It's me," the young man explained. "Matt Roper, you know, Daphne's fiancé. She was going to meet me at the bus stop. I just talked to her on the phone the day before yesterday." The old people blinked at Matt. At last the woman spoke. "Better get your gun, Pa. This salesman's got a pitch like I never heard before." "Fiancé?" the old man asked. "You like the Packers of Green Bay, Wisconsin?" "Daphne, where is she?" Bright spots darted before Matt's eyes. His head felt light. "We're supposed to be married," he blurted. And that's his entrance to Dickieville.
Wow.
And the crazy family he's about to meet and the adventures he's about to experience there.
You say Dickieville is in Wisconsin?
It is, uh-huh. Yeah.
I'll bet Paul DeMarc likes this since that's where he's from.
Yeah, he hasn't read it yet, but I've talked with him a little bit about it. Yeah, but it is really a fun read. And talk about cross-cultural mix here.
Mm-hmm.
That night, they invite him to a huge party, and he winds up hungover the next morning, and the mother wakes him up and says, "It's time to go hunting." And he said, "What about?" And apparently he's promised to go hunting with all the boys, and that's how the whole thing starts.
Mm-hmm, boy.
Yeah.
That's an early part of the book.
That's obviously the early part, yeah.
Right. So how much, now you say he's going to be doing a reading of this, but how much is he going to read?
Well, I think he's going to read a section of the novel, and mm-hmm. I think he's going to read a short story of his as well.
Oh,
so, you know, a little variety of some of the things that he's done. And so it should be great.
Yeah. I encourage people to come out and check this out. Always wonderful to support literature.
Yeah. So, and we're really grateful to the Associated Students who've helped to fund this.
Absolutely. So come on out. It's Friday. What time is it again?
7 o'clock, mm-hmm. and it's in Life Science 102.
All righty. And it's free.
That's right.
Can't beat that. So yeah. You get a chance to hear that, meet the author, and see a former CR student.
Yeah.
Who's
done good.
Done good.
That's all right.
All right, Dave, thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot, Cliff. Appreciate it.
You bet.